Welcome back to the No Name Football Podcast. I'm Jason McKee, and as usual, I'm joined with my great co-host, Mr. Olin Krutz, perennial Pro Bowler, one of the Bears' all-time 100 greats. Mr. Football, you hear him on a lot of things, doing Bears previews. He's on radio. He's on TV shows, giving you the real. But before, like we always start our show with, Burr, though, we got to talk one of our favorite pastimes, high school football. Doesn't get better than that, man.
It doesn't. And Loyola was at... played Fenwick this week, Friday night, and Fenwick's another good football team.
Yeah.
They tied it up late, J-Mac, okay? And remember that cold front came in Friday night.
Yes.
So Loyola puts their kicker on the field from 41 yards, and I'm standing behind the goalpost. Mm. And this wind has got to be blowing left to right at 35, 40 miles per hour. So I'm in overtime already, right? Coach Holasek calls timeout, calls his group over, and I'm sure he tells them, like, you got to kick this ball outside the right upright.
Yeah.
Offense is right? Not defense. Defense is left. The ball, J-Mac, starts 15 yards outside the right upright.
Oh, my gosh.
The wind blows it. The kid hits a 41-yard field goal in the rain, and the wind blowing. Fenwick, credit them. They ran a trick play, scored. Mm. Scored again. The quarterback made a great play. They got a really good quarterback. They got a good wide receiver. Mm. They got a good center. I enjoyed watching the center play. Good. I think the kid, someone told me he's going to Purdue or somewhere. You know, he's a good football player if schools want him. So watching him go against my son James at linebacker was fun. They were locked horns a couple times, shoving each other after plays. That's good for kids.
Yeah, it's good football, man.
Let them shove each other a little bit. They need to get some of that. Take that energy out so I don't got to deal with it at home.
Right, you know I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, let them do their thing out there as long as they don't hurt each other. But tough football game. Loyola, a bunch of injuries. No one feels sorry for them. They have about 100. They have about 1,025 guys on the sidelines.
I wish.
So, but this week they have Marist at home. Marist, man, just another good football team.
We'll see them in a couple weeks. They got a good football team, man.
Loyola running a gauntlet right now, J-Mac. They're running a gauntlet of teams, but. How about Carmel Catholic? How'd you guys end up?
Oh, man. We got our ass kicked. We didn't play well. All the credit goes to Nazareth Academy, well coached ball club. The head coach over there has done a great job. It's got some playmakers, man. They got some receivers. They got a freshman quarterback that's really good. We made him better, but
freshman quarterback.
Wow. We made him look real good, but he is good. He has a bright future. So, we'll be seeing him for years to come, but us in general, we didn't play well. And, I put a mirror up at my house, Brother O, and I wrote Y on the mirror. And I looked in, I was like, am I the Y? We didn't play well. So, you know, I take ownership of that. You know, when we don't play well, it's a reflection of the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. I felt that we were prepared. We just didn't execute. You know, we didn't do the basic fundamentals that needed to be done to win a football game. And that's a block, catch, and tackle. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't do those things well. We gave up two special team scores that should never happen. A lot of things that we can correct. A lot of things that's on us. So we play St. Pat's this weekend. It's a good rivalry between us. We beat them in the spring in a close game. We play at their place again. Another tough, you know, hard-nosed, physical Chicago football high school team that we'll play. So it's going to be a good game. We're down a few guys, but it gives some other guys an opportunity to step up and make plays. And, you know, it's just good to be back playing high school football in general, regardless of the results that we've had the last 2 weeks. We're 2-3 now. We dropped two. We came out the gate strong and won two. Now we dropped two, obviously had to forfeit the first game. So you're looking forward to getting back on the field and having some type of redemption this week.
Yeah, Nazareth Academy, in 2018, my older boy, Josh, was playing on Loyola as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. And Loyola played in the 8A state championship against Brother Rice. Brother Rice had a really good team that year.
Yes.
But before they played, Nazareth, I think, was playing in the 7A championship.
Yeah.
And I told Josh after the game, I don't know if you guys are state champs because the team I watch. Yeah. So Nazareth has a really good program. I know you are developing that program over there at Carmel in your second year, J-Mac. It's a good lead into because you are going through the same thing almost that the Bears are going through this week. So what do you tell your team? What do you expect Coach Nagy, who when you went in the Y mirror, I'm wondering if he showed up in your mirror and you're scared the shit out of you.
Like, I thought I looked, I said and, shit. And everybody, we don't have his playbook. We had more than 47 yards of total offense. I was happy about that. I'm like, man, hey, I got his freaking playbook.
Hey, and everybody's Y mirror, when you say mirror, mirror on the wall, Nagy shows up. You know, you're looking for the Y. What did you see from the Bears against the Browns, J-Mac? The whole city's frustrated, obviously, yeah, with Coach Nagy and his offensive staff and their plan for Justin Fields. But just your overall takeaway from this Browns game.
Yeah, what did I see? To be quite honest, I hate to cuss, but I didn't see shit. Mm-hmm. Just like everybody else. That's exactly what we saw. We didn't see anything. I mean, 42 total plays, 47 total yards, 1.1 yards per average per play, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at it like this, right? And everybody's been talking about it here in Chicagoland. You have Justin Fields, right? So the whole time you're talking about development and all this stuff, but it's one thing to develop him physically, but as a coach coordinator and all those coaches that we talk about on the offensive side of the ball in that building, it's developing a scheme and a plan to help him develop, you know, giving him plays that in which he can use his tools or his skill set to be successful. And they haven't done that. And if all those guys in that building, all those offensive gurus and quarterback coaches that they have, Brother O, mm-hmm, if they didn't know how to do that, they should have reached out to Ohio State head football coach, what's his name, Ryan Day, and said, hey, what's the best way that we can utilize Justin Fields? Or even look at their tape and see the way they utilized him. Because, I mean, that's the type of quarterback that you have that can be effective in many different ways, but you got to find ways to make him successful. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you talk about the development. Yeah, he needs to do this and he needs to look at this, but you got to set him up for success. And what you put out there and the way you put him out there on Sunday, you know, I hope you didn't kill his confidence. And there's some plays where, yeah, he held the ball too long and things like that, but you didn't give him any outlets or any options to get the ball out quicker. You didn't give him a chance to be successful because he's sitting back there in the pocket and he's getting killed.
Yeah, you know? Look, you go to the dog pound, right? Cleveland's a tough place to play.
Yes.
That's where Justin Fields, because of injury to Andy Dalton, gets his first start.
Yes.
The plan, it wasn't bad. It wasn't well thought out. It was terrible. That was a terrible plan you had for your offense. The fact that we didn't see screens, the fact that you didn't move the pocket, it just, if you didn't think this was going to happen, you haven't been watching your team.
Yes.
And you don't know your own personnel. You don't know who you have up front. You don't know who your offensive line is. You don't know who your quarterback is. Justin Fields fell in the draft because he holds the ball too long.
Yes.
That's what people were worried about. He didn't get the ball out, and people thought in the NFL when they put the clock on him that he took too many sacks. Now look, I heard Coach Juan say one time that we time the quarterback at practice, yes, in the pocket. So if you don't know, you should know how much time you have to get that ball out, how much protection you have to give him. And if you leave those guys on the offensive line, that five, Jason Peters, Cody Whitehair, Sam Mustipher, James Daniels, and Jermaine Ifedi, mm-hmm, if you leave them, just them five, just five-man protection, J-Mac, you're going to give up.
Yeah, you're going to give up nine sacks.
You're going to give up nine sacks. And look, I've given up, talked about it many times in the Giants, that we gave up 10 sacks, right?
Right.
I knew going into that game that we were in trouble just by our offensive line, the way Jay Cutler held the ball. Mm-hmm. He ran out of bounds for two of those, but that's a whole nother story.
Right.
This was a failure by the coaching staff, but that's why we said last week on the podcast that Coach Nagy had to consider giving up play calling, yes, right? Because the last 29 games, they're averaging under 18 points a game. Just self-evaluation tells you right away what I'm doing is not working. Yes. And I go back all the way back, J-Mac, and I'd have to look at what podcast it was, but I go back to when we recommended that they move Donovan Raiola, the assistant offensive line coach for the Chicago Bears, a good friend of mine, grew up with him, obviously, mm-hmm, move him to quarterback coach because you need someone in that room saying, guys, Justin, better get the ball out. Guys, we can't block that guy.
Yes.
Guys, this is not a good protection. Someone needs to be in there who blocks people, who sees the game at the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
Someone needs to be in those meetings helping them plan, J-Mac.
Yeah, because you, as a coordinator, and if you're a pass happy guy, you know, third and long, you know, there was a couple of sets right in that game where you see the Bears, you know, they got an empty backfield. So they got five receivers out there. It's five man protection automatically. Cleveland sees that. They bring six. They got one more than we can block. You know what I'm saying? And even before that, you know, there was plays in which I'm watching film last night. And I'm looking at the backs, right? And you know, Jason Peters and the Fetty's having trouble with Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett off the edge, right? But I see the back setting inside instead of setting outside to chip to help one of those guys. You know what I mean? How many times do we see Myles Garrett just beat Jason Peters right off the line? But if that back is setting outside, even if Coach Nagy does want that back to run a route, well then, hey, you know what? You have to give a good solid chip on your way out to slow that pass rush and then run your route. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You don't just run past them, or you don't just set inside and just let your tackles, you know, get beat around the edge without giving them some type of presence or support. I mean, if you don't want to do that, put a tight end on that side. If Myles Garrett, I think in the first half, he had what, 3.5 sacks, if I'm not mistaken. But if you see he's beating you like a drum consistently off the edge, put a tight end on that side. Mm-hmm. Leave him in. Put the tight end over there. You may not be able to get your back out. Keep your back in so he can chip and protect. I remember our running back coach, Tim Spencer. If we had a route called in our protection, and if our linebackers didn't come, we had a route. It was no such thing as a free release. We had to chip on the way out, regardless of what our route was. And if we didn't do that, it was a minus. He would cuss our ass out, and you guys would cuss our ass out as well.
Well, protection is the whole offense, right? Yes. The whole offense, the receivers got to get open, right? You got to get open, first of all. Tight ends, you got, like you're saying, tight ends, running backs, chip on the way out. The offensive line, we've talked about, they have to be greater than the sum of their parts. They don't have, like, they're not a star-studded unit. Like Cleveland, even though the Bears' defense line beat the hell out of Cleveland's offensive line for two or three quarters.
For sure.
Look, this is my problem, J-Mac, like you know. You coach ball. We played a lot of football. If running the ball and protecting the quarterback isn't important to the punt people coaching it, it's not important to the offense. And right now, when I watch the Chicago Bears offense on film, I don't see a team that takes their run game and their protection seriously. By that, I mean the details, right? The details in the run game. 3rd and 2, they pitch Jason Peters. Toss crack. That's the last thing I would do. I wouldn't toss crack my 40-year-old tackle.
You toss crack, okay? And your receiver, obviously, he doesn't know the play because Allen Robinson just stands there and he doesn't even crack anybody.
So dose low, right? Dose. Yes. It's dose. It's two guys on the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
On every play you run, coach, what if they give us a dose look over here, right? So obviously the details are not there. It's not, I don't know if it's Allen Robinson's fault. I don't know if the coaches didn't go over it.
Yeah.
It's a dose look, right? Okay. It looked like they'd never seen that look before to me.
Because Allen Robinson, before, I don't want to cut you off, brother, but before the play snap, he's sitting there looking. He's looking. Yeah. When you watch on film, he's looking side to side like, oh, shit, who do I block? Crucial play in the game. They're in scoring position. They're in the red zone, and he's looking like, who the hell do I block?
Right, and just picking apart that play for an example, J-Mac, I just want to use this play for an example of what I see wrong on film. In crucial situations, you have to pour the what ifs on. By that, I mean, what if they go dose? What if the linebacker walks up in the A gap? Look, first and 10, second and 8, sometimes you run plays that you don't have all the adjustments for. Mm-hmm. Somebody may get injured. Somebody news on the sideline. Third, critical situations. Coach Nagy talked about it. They have two false starts on 31 that he talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Critical play calls. The whole offense needs to know every adjustment in case someone's hurt. So anyway, there shouldn't have been a question there. You go to your guys, we're on our first 3rd and 2. We're going to run toss crack.
Yes.
Oh, coach, what if I got the man line of scrimmage. What if there's another guy?
Yes.
Right. What if there's two or three guys here?
Yes.
Well, who has this guy? Then you have to let the back know. If that guy's there, you're 1-on-1. We gotta get 2 yards. This is on you.
Yes.
Okay. So all I'm saying is when you watch the Bears offense right now, I watch play action passes, right? I watch it in slow motion. Guys, sell the damn play action. Okay?
Nobody's fooled.
And then coach, run the run play two or three times before you actually run the play action. So they play the run play.
Yes.
Right? So the offensive linemen, they're all in 2-point stance, J-Mac. The running back is giving some half-ass fake.
Yeah, he's not even faking. So, and they haven't even ran. They ran a play action off of an outside zone. And he didn't even run outside zone. They're running inside zone. Mm-hmm. First, almost damn near the first play of every drive they had was inside zone to David Montgomery. Then all of a sudden you try to run a stretch outside zone, boot play action off of that. If you look at the backside of Cleveland's defense, nobody bit. They didn't even move. Mm-hmm. They just rushed straight upfield. They tried to sell the hide route to Cole Kmet coming out the backside. I'm assuming that was Justin Fields' number one read. But if you look at the defense, they didn't even bite. The DN's rushing straight up fields right at Justin Fields and blew up the play.
Right, and Coach Nagy talked about that, right? Like, they took away some of what we wanted to do. I know they try to run a tight end screen. There was a penalty on that. There was a holding penalty. But just not enough screens. You've seen Cleveland, when their offensive line was getting killed, that's what they opened to get. Kareem Hunt started catching screens, right? Mario Edwards beating Betonio at left guard. Betonio, very good left guard. Yeah. Mario Edwards was impressive. Yep. As far as pass rush goes, Wyatt Taylor versus Akeem Hicks. Gosh, was that a war? Akeem Hicks continues to be an animal out yes. there. The defense did play well. I got a little bit of a bone to pick with everybody. I keep saying, well, how much do you want them to do? They just kind of fell apart. Guys, they suit up 9 defensive alignment, right? But you know what
rotation.
I mean? The offense finally went down and scored 3,
right?
And then you gave up a touchdown drive, mm-hmm. okay? The first game against the Rams, the offense won the time of possession battle. You still give up 34 points.
Right.
Late in the game against the Bengals, they put up 2 touchdowns. Is that the offense's fault too? We're in week 3, right? I would have loved to play defense in Chicago. Man, do they give these defensive guys a break, right? Like, hey, well, I mean, how much do you want them to do? Like, the guys, no.
She wants you to score, too.
You
got to score, too.
Shit. We've talked about many a times, all the money is on that side of the ball.
Yes.
Right? So, do you expect to be held up? Yes, you're expected to hold up the whole game. That you just are, especially for this team. But going back to the offense, J-Mac, I want to ask you a quick question before mm-hmm. we have to get to. We're going to have 6-7 to score radio host Lawrence Holmes on with us.
Yeah.
Guy who really helped us with this podcast and just really respect his opinion on all Chicago sports. Yes. It'll be really interesting to talk to him. I want to talk to him also about Arlington Heights, the Bears' possible move to Arlington Heights. But J-Mac, with what you saw last week, going into the Lions game this week, right? Mm-hmm. The only team the Bears play in the next 6, I think, that has a losing record. So the Bears have a tough schedule. Oh, and the Steelers have a losing record too, but that's still the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Would you stay with Justin Fields on offensive at quarterback after what you saw in Cleveland?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's growing pains. And we see a lot of these rookie quarterbacks going through right now. I mean, you look at it, the first – what is this? Going into week 4, no rookie quarterbacks really had success. You look at Zach Wilson up there. The Jets, he struggled. Trevor Lawrence down there, Jacksonville struggled. But the only way they're going to learn is to play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you can't – Justin Fields did some bad things, but it's that's on the coach. And like I came on the show, when the team plays bad, that's a reflection of the coach. You know, you didn't have him ready, whatever. So they got to go back to the drawing board and try to find ways to get him his confidence up, whether that's getting him some completions early, whether that's designing some quarterback runs to get him out of the pocket, whatever you got to do. You got to set up a scheme that's going to make him more effective. And another way you take pressure off of your quarterback, your rookie quarterback, is to establish a run game. Mm. Now, the forecast for Soldier Field this Sunday is going to be rain. So feed Montgomery the ball. When he gets tired, bring in Damian Williams and feed his ass the ball, too. Then you can set up play action when you have a successful run game. Then the team will actually bite on that play action. But if you're not running the ball effectively and you call a play action play, then the defense is not going to respect it because they don't respect the run right now. So, you know, I think if they can do something like that, you bring him in. I know Nagy said it's Dalton 1, Fields 2, and Foles 3, whatever. You know, you can't have a quarterback carousel because obviously Justin Fields is your future. So at the end of the day, you got to get your future out there and let him learn under fire. And if you devise a scheme that can make him successful, I think he does have the tools and the mentality to overcome what we saw in Cleveland and to be successful in this game, especially against a Detroit Lions defense that's – they're giving up 31 points per game. I mean, they're – I'm sorry. They're giving up – what is this? 22 points per game. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So, yep. You know, it could be a game to where you build his confidence back up. But you got to give him some plays and some type of, comfortability to let him be successful.
Yeah, and look, like you're saying, I mean, come on, man. Just, it's frustrating to say it over and over again, but make Montgomery the identity of the offense. Look, come out there and be stubborn, right? Put Alex Bars, put Elijah Wilkinson on the field. Put extra linemen out there.
Yeah.
Put JP Holtz. And
go just say,
we're
going to
run the ball. Yeah, we're gonna run the ball. Put all those guys out there with Allen Robinson. Just change your identity. Get Justin Fields on the edge. Well, why not put Montgomery in the backfield, put Alex Bars, Elijah Wilkinson on the field, and let Fields run a quarterback power? He'd be hard to handle. There was one boot in the game. He was running. I think Clowney was chasing him. He'll learn from the film. He could have took off running there.
Yeah.
He would have got some yards there, right, with his speed and the way he runs the ball. Here's the reason why I want to see Justin Fields on the field. First of all, I want to see him at home where the crowd isn't a factor, right? There's Lions. They don't have Myles Garrett. They don't have Jadeveon Clowney. They don't have Tack McKinley. But also, J-Mac, if I'm George McCaskey and Ted Phillips, I have to see this coaching staff make a young quarterback better.
Yes.
I have to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I saw Mr. Trubisky get worse, right? I have to see if these guys can develop a young quarterback. And look, if you're telling me, if I'm the boss and I walk in that room and you tell me, Olin, I cannot put him on the field, the offensive line. That's a reflection on you.
Yes.
Now I tell you, now my answer would be in 2019, you sat up there at the press conference and said the O-line was the problem.
Right.
Why in 2021 can I not play my young quarterback because we don't have an O-line? No. Fields will start. You show me that you can devise a plan.
Thank you.
That this kid can play well or you're gone. Period. That's what I would tell Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Period. This kid starts. Right? Because I'm the boss. This kid starts and you show me that you can find success with him because you drafted Mr. Trubisky number two in the draft and now he's gone.
Right.
You told me in 2019 that it was the O-line coach, the offensive coordinator, and the tight end's fault. Right? And I'm going to fire them.
Yep.
Fine. Fix the offensive line. And you haven't fixed. So now you told me the O-line was a problem. You told me the run game was a problem. You brought in your own guys. Now you're telling me I can't play this young quarterback because the O-line is bad. You see why I'm confused, right?
You know what that's called? That's called mirror on the wall. Yeah.
So that's why I want to see Justin Fields on the field. And look, I don't necessarily believe in you can ruin a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think this kid has confidence. I think he's tough as nails. I think he knows he's good, right? And let him stay out there. Let him play. If I'm this isn't like these guys just got here, right? So if I'm the boss up there, I need to see these guys. I need to see John DeFilippo. I need to see Bill Lazor. First of all, Ted and George, you should have looked at their background before they showed up.
Yep.
But now if you want to look at their background and look at what quarterbacks have you guys developed? Why is Mr. Trubisky in Buffalo? What do you mean the O-line is still broken so I can't see my young core? What the hell are we talking about?
Right.
Right. Now I'm chasing my tail. And now you start to realize what a lot of people have been saying about the staff they're building up there.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback they just left town. The offensive line, the lack of putting resources there. J-Mac, I'm confused at the fact that now they're trying to sell to me. I can't play the quarterback because the O-line is still bad.
Right, and you put all the resources on the defensive side of the ball, knowing that you have problems on the offensive line. Yeah, you tried to, address those problems via the draft. It didn't work out for you. Second round draft picks out. You bring in Jason Peters, an old Wiley veteran, who is capable, but who's, long in the tooth. So, and like you said, it's just excuse after excuse. You know, it doesn't matter. If your O-line's having problems, like you said, you're the head coach, offensive coordinator. You have to develop a scheme and a plan that's going to be successful with what you have. Because at the end of the day, in the NFL, the week to week, the beat goes on. Nobody cares about injuries, next man up. You know, you got to devise a scheme to make your quarterback and your protections successful. So that way your offense has an opportunity to be successful and you're not going out there averaging, 47 yards a game. I think right now offensively the Bears are scoring 13 points a game, brother O. Mm-hmm. 13 points per game.
Take out Roquan's touchdown.
Take out the touchdown. I mean, that's, you're not going to win a lot of games. And you may not be the 0-3 Detroit team scoring 13 points. No. You know, I think, piggybacking on what you said, this is a must win for Matt Nagy. Mm-hmm. And you have to get Fields in, especially against a Detroit defense that isn't good. If you can't devise a scheme and a game plan for your first round draft pick, future franchise quarterback, to be successful against a Detroit defense that's been struggling early on in the season, you can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was a GM, I've seen enough. So I think this is a must-win game for Matt Nagy, you know, in terms of his future here in Chicago. And if your offense stalls like they did last week against Cleveland, against a Detroit team that doesn't have the dogs like the dog pound had, then we could see the end of Nagy. We should see the end of Nagy.
Yeah, you got to see improvement coming up real quick on the Lions. It's always going to be about the Bears defensive line, right? The Bears defensive line versus the Lions offense line. You got to shut down that run game. They got Jamal Williams from the Packers. If I'm the Lions, I'm taking a look at DeAndre Swift.
Oh yeah,
I saw Kareem Hunt last week. I'm going to run some screens, so the Bears defense got to be ready for that. We got to tackle well, obviously. Hopefully, cause some takeaways. But like you're saying, with the offense versus Aaron Glenn's unit, Aaron Glenn is a defensive coordinator for the Lions. They really struggle at the linebacker position. Run the ball downhill with these guys. Put an extra lineman on the field. Put the game on Montgomery. Max protect. Find Allen Robinson, right? Got to see more Darnell Mooney. Got to see more of this receiving core.
Some more Marquise Goodwin.
Still wondering why Jimmy Graham is suited up at all. But listen, this is a big week, like you said, for Coach Nagy, his Y mirror. He's going to look into his Y mirror and try to figure it out again. This is a lot of times we've heard this. The conversation about we got to fix the offense. We got to get to Lawrence Holmes. He's waiting for us. So here we go. Looking for a taste of the islands? Look no further than No Foods. That's NOH Foods of Hawaii. No Foods was developed to reflect the many international cultures and races of the islands. Hawaiian, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Portuguese, Filipino, and more. Known for the wide variety of delicious seasoning and sauces, the products of No Foods can make anyone a master chef in their own kitchen. Easy to prepare and delicious in flavor are the hallmarks of No Foods. Again, that's NOH of Hawaii. Dishes like Chinese beef broccoli, Korean barbecue, Filipino adobo, Hawaiian kalua pork, and many, many more. Don't forget about the refreshing and very popular Hawaiian iced tea, sweetened with raw cane sugar and just the right touch of lemon. You can find NOH Foods online at Amazon.com and NOHfoods.com. Also in many stores and supermarkets. As we say in the islands, say yes to no. Aloha. J-Mac, I am excited for this podcast. This next guest that we got, a guy who helped us get this podcast off the ground, was a big part of it.
Yes, sir.
Talked to him a lot about what direction to go in with this podcast and just kind of gave his info. He's always helping develop young guys in the radio business like me and you.
Yes.
He is the host of the Lawrence Holmes Show on 670 Score. You can catch that from noon to two. He's the CEO of the House of L podcast, which I learned just from studying about this is based off the Marvel Comics Superman. So him and Lance Briggs, now I know why they're friends. He teaches radio at DePaul, right? Master's degree at Alabama. Mm-hmm. But Lawrence, I want to start here. When I was studying for this, I realized that you were on the 1987 Jackie Robinson West Little League state title team. Okay. Mm. And you had a tryout with the Marlins, the Expos, and the Braves. And my biggest question is, you ran a 60 under 8 seconds. Is there video of this?
Probably not from 1997. I mean, maybe there is with the Expos might have it, but Oh, I got to tell you, man, first of all, being on with you guys is a real honor for me. I love this podcast. Like, I listen to it every week and I gain something every week. But, you know, like, I that's part of my life that I feel like since I didn't make it, I don't talk about a lot. But yeah, I ended up at one of these like regionals. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they have you do is they have you run. They have you run a 60. And you got to, at least back then, you had to make it under 8 seconds. And I was a catcher for Little League, high school, travel team, Babe Ruth League, college. I caught. So my knees were already pretty bad, even at 22. And I was like, oh, well, this will be it. Like this, I got here. I got invited to this regional and they're going to send me home immediately. And when the time came back and it was 7-4, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, I guess I'm in better shape than I thought I was. and my knees aren't that bad. I made it all the way through the process until we got to hitting. I did fine on the fielding. I can still actually throw, which is amazing at 46, but they were like, you can't hit. And I was like, you're right. I cannot hit. At the major league level, I appreciate your time. We'll pack up my gear, and thanks for the opportunity, and I left.
So what Lawrence is saying, J-Mac, is after the testing, all the white guys went home.
Oh my goodness! This guy right here, man. you were like Joe Boo from Major League, right? Keep bats warm. Help me curveball.
Look here. Okay, so I'll be straight up with you guys. I hit 2 home runs in my entire baseball career. They came in the same game. One of them was over the wall, and the other one was an inside the park home run. But it was one game. It was one game in college. And I've never been able to find like power. Like I'm one of those dudes that I'll hit anything. I can get to it. I'll get it back up the middle. It's probably going to be a single, but they're not paying people to hit singles in the major league. And I wasn't good enough to warrant being given an opportunity to even try to do so. But I love, like, my parents still have, like, the letter that the Marlins and the Expos sent me saying that they wanted me to come and be a part of the regional. And I feel like I took my baseball career as far as I could take it. So I'm satisfied with that, that was, like, a really cool thing to be able to be like, I got invited. I did the best that I could. I didn't leave anything. Like, I ate right. I was ready. And I just wasn't good enough, and I had to accept that, and I did.
Lawrence, I want to stay in the past, and I know you're a Homewood Flossmoor alum. I know you had a radio show back in high school. But where did that love come from for broadcasting and radio? When did you first discover you had a love for that, and you wanted to make a career of that?
Well, here's the crazy part about it. So I grew up on the South Side in the Roseland area. And then my neighborhood back in the late 80s, kind of dangerous. And my parents had decided that they were going to move. Like I had family members that lived out in the South Burbs. Their best friends lived out in the South Burbs. So when I finished grammar school, my brother had already finished high school at Mendel, which then became St. Martin de Porres, which is now Gwendolyn Brooks High School over on the South Side on 111th Street. So we moved out south because they had heard such great things about HF. I was playing basketball freshman year and I tore up my ankle like bad. Like I literally still have the screw in it. I have what was called a triple arthrodesis surgery. They fused 3 bones into one. So I have a screw and a bunch of staples in my ankle and I was in a cast for a really long time. So, you know, when you can't play, it's rough, but my high school was amazing. My high school coach, John Wren, he was amazing. He was just amazing. Like one of the guys I still admire to this day. He ended up coaching running back to Arizona State, won 3 state championships in Arizona as a high school coach, 1 state championship in Illinois a few years after my class graduated. They did this thing called adaptive PE. So like, obviously like you can't be running around when you have a cast on. So I would go lift weights like with him, and it's so weird, like, how the world works. This was, like, when the score was first started. And he used to listen to the score in class. Like, it's crazy. Like, all, like, the more I think about it, the crazier it actually is.
Wow.
So my mother had said to me, you know, since you love sports so much, why don't you talk about sports? And that's where I found myself going to the radio station. And that's kind of where my career began.
Hey, Lawrence, man, I saw that it was 1998 that you started with the score. And I realized that that's when I got drafted to the Bears. And it made me think through all that time in Chicago sports. What are one or two of your favorite interviews that you've either heard or been a part of?
Well, let me give you like a sports one and then like a not sports one. Mm-hmm. Okay. The sports one is I was interning at Channel 9 and they had me do field producing, which is basically I'm there to hold a microphone in front of people like you guys, right? I'm not supposed to ask any questions. I'm the low man on the totem pole. I'm just out there so that the anchor's arm doesn't get tired. And this was during the end of the Bulls run. And I got Michael Jordan to stop. Like he was getting ready to pull off. And he actually stopped and rolled down the window. And we got some really good bites from him. I want to say it was as they were leaving the Birdo Center to head to the parade downtown. Mm. And I was like, holy crap. Like I'm sitting here talking to Michael Jordan, and I never thought that was going to be something because of what age I started in the business. I never thought that was going to be a thing. That was an amazing moment. I still say that one of my most favorite interviews that I've ever done, and it wasn't because like I was good, it was because the subject was incredible. Jonathan Hood and I used to do a wrestling show. Like, that was like my first like real show on the score. And we interviewed Jake the Snake Roberts. Mm. And it was at the time when Jake was still going through drug use and he had like lost his daughter. And he just, guys, he opened a vein and just talked to us about the struggles with addiction and not having his family. And we were just like, I just wanted to hear about the snake and DDT. But in the middle of it, you're here having a guy like pour out his heart and soul to you. It haunts me, like how good that interview was. And that was probably 20 years ago. And I still think about like that interview and how powerful it can be when you have a subject who's willing to give when you're doing the interview.
Where can we still find that interview?
I don't know. Like it might be on YouTube somewhere, or there might be like some cassette that either Hood has or I have in a box. But it was, I'm telling you, man.
You got to post that on your podcast, man, because
that's
a legend, man.
That's an excellent idea. I'm going to go see if I can try and find it. But it just, we were so freaked out because we weren't expecting it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to, when you're doing interviews like that, like, it's one of the things I tell the students all the time is you're going to have a set of questions. Like you should have kind of a jumping off point for things that you want to know or things that you want to learn. But when a subject gives you something, there's no rule that says that you have to stick with your list. Like if they take you down a different path and it ends up being great content, then you got to go with the great content. And we, without even saying anything to each other, Hood and I both are like, we're not going to ask him like who his favorite guy to work with is. We're going to stay in this space because he clearly wants to talk about it.
And it's so fitting, right? Because whenever he wrestled, the DDT come out of nowhere. Uh-huh. Remember that? Like, he'd be losing. He'd hit it out of nowhere. Yeah. Just, he gave you that content he gave you a DDT of content.
There's no doubt about it, man. And the feedback, because back then it wasn't like now where you're getting, like Twitter wasn't a thing. We didn't have a text screen, but we literally got letters from people that had listened to that interview and they enjoyed it so much. So that always sticks in my mind as far as like great interviews go. I mean, I had some really good ones in you guys' locker room too. I remember sitting down with Thomas Jones and, you know, TJ wasn't a big talker. Mm-hmm. And I had asked him something about like his workout regimen, because clearly you could see the guy's biceps from 50 yards away.
He's going to love this. He's going to love this.
It's the truth. And I sat down with him, and he told me, and you guys had TJ on. I heard the interview, and it was great. Mm-hmm. Like, the work ethic that was instilled in him from his parents, and his parents being coal miners, and him taking that and using that to running over 10,000 yards in the NFL, I love those stories. Like that's one of the things that as I matured, like as a reporter, I started to, I'm not gonna lie to you. I enjoyed fencing with Lovey in press conferences. That shit was fun. I enjoyed like going back and forth with him. And it was great.
Lawrence.
We're not going to tell you who our quarterback is today, big guy. So, you know, we used to go at it, but I always love being able to talk to you guys and learn. And when you learn some of these stories and where people come from, that's what I think the listener wants to hear. They want the X's and O's by the people that really, really know it, like the two of you. But they want to try and wrap their arms around the people that they're rooting for, or at least kind of get an idea of where those guys are coming from. And that locker room, those locker rooms that I cover with you guys, there's all sorts of characters, man. Like, there's all sorts. I mean, I'm talking to two of them right now. There's all sorts of characters in there, and you want to try and tell their stories. And that to me is like kind of what I'm on now. Like, that's what House of L is all about. Like, I want to hear people's stories. I want to know what makes them tick and what pushed them on to whatever it is that they're doing in their career.
Yeah, Lawrence, talk about being a professor now and actually, you know, teaching students broadcasting and radio. You know, talk about how you prepare for that and how is it different from, you know, preparing for a radio show, but preparing for a class.
I think, honestly, J-Mac, like it's the best thing that I've ever done. Like, I love working in radio. I love doing TV. But being able to work with young people and give them something that, I mean, and this is no diss to academics. Like, my dad is an academic. But I'm giving them practical, like, real-world experience. And I'm sharing, like, this is what it's like in a press conference. This is what it's like to go cover a Super Bowl. This is what it's like to get ready a radio show when there's breaking news. And they seem to enjoy the class. Like, my class usually has a wait list to it. And it's fun. It's fun when you see your students succeed. There's nothing more gratifying for me than the light clicking on when I explain a concept to them and then they see it play out in the real world. And then they bring it back to class and they're like, you know what, Professor Holmes, you were right. Like this, and this. And walking them through that and getting that type of feedback from them, where I have students that, you know, I've taught for 10 years at DePaul. And I have students that come back to me now and say they remember things that I taught them in class in 2012. And they use that, and they're using that in their newsrooms or wherever it is that they're working. Like, that's cool. Like, I have a student that I had a couple years ago. She just hit me up because she got this job in Texas, and she was talking to me about how to organize your work as a game is going on. A lot of people think that you take everything after the game, and then you have your story. And that's the way ideally it would work. But there's also these things called deadlines when the sub needs to get in. So you need to be paying really, like, you need to be critical in what it is that you're paying attention to so that you're getting that story prepared. And you need to be ready for if the story changes. How are you going to express what those stories are? And seeing her, you know, take that, and then I saw the package story that she was working on after we talked about it and seeing her apply that to it, it's really fulfilling. Like, you guys know, like, from coaching, it's the same thing. It's when a player that maybe even doesn't have the greatest amount of talent, But you see them and you say, look, this is the technique. This is the way that we do this. And here's why we do it. And then they apply it and they make a big play and they come back to you and they're like, Coach J-Mac, Coach O, like, I got it now. Like, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, man. I as you know, J-Mac, I worked with Lawrence on the NBC football after show. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to say I am one of his students. He taught me a lot when I was there about this world of TV and radio, and just does a good job with all that stuff. And now after hearing him speak here, one of my goals is for someone to call me, my son, to say, man, my dad's an academic, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I am working on. Hey, Lawrence, you never know. I have a five-year-old daughter. She might call me an academic. You never know.
They're going to call you and say, your dad's an enforcer. That's what he is.
Well, look, if you just look at a couple of guys that you guys work, you guys played with or played against. If you go to Thomas Jones's Wikipedia page now, what does it say?
Actor.
It says Thomas Jones is an American actor, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Think, look, I tell you right now that as college and academia overall is changing, don't sell yourselves short. There is room for, I can tell you right now, I bet you I could pitch a football class that you thought, and people would be in that class. And guess what that would make you then?
It professor.
Would make you an academic.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I got to go buy a professor pair of glasses. Proots. I'm going to buy a pair of glasses from Walgreens.
Professor
right
Proots.
After this. You know, you guys are pumping me up, but then the way you laugh after makes me not believe that you guys don't really believe it.
I'm going to sign up right now for the class. I'm signing up now.
What if you mother F guys in the middle of class, right? Hey, Lawrence, I hate to do this because this conversation is going great, but I got to turn to the Chicago Bears, right? And what we saw this week in Cleveland, what we saw them do with their rookie quarterback, Justin Fields. And when I was studying last night, I saw your actual interview or podcast you did from March, and you talked about how can Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have another shot at developing a quarterback after they signed Andy Dalton. This is what they're going to give the people of Chicago. Now, we didn't know Justin Fields was coming, but all that stuff you said pertains to the situation they're in right now. How do you feel about these two guys having the responsibility of developing Justin Fields?
I'm sometimes like the stuff that I do on the air, like I'm so embarrassed. Like I lost my shit on that. I really did. And like people loved it. And I joke about how like most of the time I want to try and take my style of like teaching and everything and bring that to the air. But occasionally you have to pull the driver out of the bag and you got to take a big swing when you see things are terrible. And I just felt like, and you guys have articulated it very well, like there hasn't been a plan. Like the plan has been hope.
Yes.
That's not a strategy. Like that's truly not a strategy. And with Dalton, like I honestly don't think that Andy Dalton's bad. And I sometimes feel some remorse because of the way that we talk about him publicly. It makes it seem like he's the problem. He's not the problem. Mm-mm. The problem is that had Justin Fields not fallen into their lap, they would have gone into this season with Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, and probably Davis Mills as like their third developmental quarterback. And that's not good enough for where you are on the time horizon. If you look at where the Bears were and the Rams were 2 years ago, they were in the same spot. But what did the Rams end up doing? They ended up bulking up their offensive line. They made changes at the quarterback spot. And I think they have one of the best play callers in the business in Sean McVay. And it just feels like for forever, the Bears are stuck in neutral. I can't believe that they left left tackle to chance. And I remember listening a few episodes to you guys breaking it all down where you're going through the list of choices that were available for them. And for them to say, you know what we'll do? We're going to put all of this on a rookie right tackle and ask him to move to left tackle, mm-hmm. and then another rookie right tackle, and maybe ask him to move to left tackle without anyone on the roster who had played NFL games at the left tackle spot, I thought it was a disaster waiting to happen, mm-hmm. and it happened pretty quickly. And you add that to Matt Nagy being, all right, oh, I'm getting ready to use one of these academic words, okay? Mm-hmm. Matt Nagy being dogmatic mm-hmm. about his offense and him never looking at the personnel and saying, how can I get the most out of the personnel? Mm-hmm. Instead of square peg, round hole, we're going to make this work our way. In some instances, a coach can do that. And I draw the parallel with Lovey's cover two. Even though the Bears defense back then wasn't in cover two all the time. But he had a special player in Brian Urlacher who could do something that no other middle linebacker could do. And that's cover the middle third. If you don't have that guy, you can't really run that as your primary defense. And with Matt Nagy's offense, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, it's not going to look good. The guy who succeeded and won the Super Bowl running a similar offense is out of a job mm-hmm. right now. And Doug Peterson. So how can you just say we're going to keep doing this and keep knocking your head against a granite and just think that it's going to work its way out with the personnel that you have? To me, it's really, really crazy.
Yeah, and me and Olin, Lawrence, we were talking about this before we got you on. If you have all these offensive gurus in that building over there, and you have all these guys, all these quarterback coaches, but the simple fact is you still have not – you had all this time. You have not developed a scheme or a plan for Justin Fields, even though he fell in your lap. And it comes to a point in time where, you know, as a coach, sometimes you have to swallow your pride and reach out to another coach who's had some success with Justin Fields. And, you know, why didn't they reach out to Ohio State head coach Ryan Day and say, hey, you know, can we see some film on how you use Justin Fields? Or what do you guys think? You know, what are ways that we can utilize him? One, to make him comfortable, but the one to speed up the learning curve, because obviously there's a learning curve for all these rookie quarterbacks. But what the Bears did is just threw him out there, just threw him out there. No plan, no protection scheme, just threw him out there. And now, you know, we wonder, you know, has his confidence been damaged so much? Will he ever reach his full potential? You know, me personally, I think he will, because I think he has the strong, I think mentally he's strong enough. But moving forward, now you have your head coach saying, hey, we don't know who the starter is. Dalton's one, Fields is two, Foles is three. My question for you is, do you think Fields should be the starter this week?
Yeah, I do. Look, if they want to do this whole thing of Andy Dalton's their guy when he's healthy and Dalton is healthy enough to start, fine, whatever. But it feels like a retreat. It feels like you're saying we lost and Justin Fields was to blame. Yep. When he clearly wasn't. Now, he wasn't completely innocent either in this. And there were things that he should have done better. And he would probably tell you that. I would love to see them actually take into account what he does talent-wise and put that into a game plan. You brought up Ryan Day. Here's the thing that's going to make you mad, J-Mac. He has talked to Ryan Day. That's one of his best friends in coaching is Ryan Day. And instead of taking what Justin Fields was good at Ohio State, Nagy still wants to, okay, I understand he's got a set of skills, but this is what we do, and we're going to try to fit him into that. It just seems antithetical to me. Like, that's not the way that you would ever go about it, especially in a situation where you don't have a lot of time to get a guy prepared. It's not like, and this is another issue I have with them, they could have used the offseason and the preseason to get him more prepared, and they chose not to. And you can't tell me that on one hand you're saying about Andy Dalton that he's so prepared and he's so smart and he understands all these concepts that we're trying to use offensively. Great. Then he doesn't need as many reps. If you're going to make Justin Fields the number two guy instead of the number three guy, And I wouldn't have had a problem with them making him number three. But if you're going to make him number two, he has got to be prepared to play, because quarterbacks get hurt, even with all the rules that make it hard for defensive guys to play in this league. Quarterbacks get hurt, and your number two has to be ready. And they didn't do a good enough job making sure that young man was ready to play NFL football. And then they gave him what essentially was an Andy Dalton playbook, mm-hmm. where you're asking a rookie to do precision passing. I don't see how that works, because it's never worked in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, and a couple of things too, right, is number one, I don't know how you feel, Lawrence, but if I'm the boss up at Hallis Hall, I need to see these guys develop a quarterback. You need to show me that you can get this young guy playing better, right? Because what you do with Mitch Trubisky, now I've lost all trust in you. So you can't, if I'm the boss, you cannot put him back on a bench. Show me that you can develop him, or else I got to get rid of you, right? Because now I don't really know which one it is anymore, because I thought it wasn't you. I thought it was Mitch. Now this quarterback is playing bad too. So now I just don't know what to do with the staff and or the young quarterback. I got to see you develop a game plan for this young man. But Lawrence, the question I have for you is real simple. Can you tell me what Rhino Wright 24 lead is?
Yes. Heavy tight end package, 24 lead. Fullback goes through the four holes.
Okay.
Tailback follows right behind him.
Okay. Now, when you run Rhino Wright 24 lead for the Bears, are you bringing in Alex Barge and Elijah Wilkerson? And is Justin Fields running the ball with Montgomery leading? Or how are we designing this Rhino Wright 24 lead? Because this is what we need.
Yes.
This is okay. So I want the extra tackle help.
Okay.
I want JP Holtz as the fullback.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On the play, this is I formation, by the way.
Which under center.
Matt Nagy doesn't like to run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like gun run. And it was Forte who kind of got me on this. Like at the pro level, gun runs I think are a little bit more difficult because of how fast everyone is. So I want to have this set up where I've got the extra tackles on the right side of the formation. I've got JP Holtz in an eye, not even an offset eye. I got him in an eye, and we're just doing a simple handoff. That's all we're doing is a lead play out of eye formation, and we're going to say, here are our dudes. We brought the big guys in. We can get 1 yard or 2 yards if we need to get 2 yards.
Mm-hmm. Downhill, baby.
So when you designed the boot package off of that now, what's Mooney and Robinson running?
Okay, I want Robinson running. Oh, Nagy loves to run hook, so I feel bad even saying run hook.
Man.
Let me get Robinson on a comeback,
mm-hmm.
and let me get Mooney on the crosser.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. There it is.
Simple. Simple. Simple.
I like
simple.
It.
Mm-hmm. Play to the strengths.
This is football 101, right?
Play to the strengths.
Why wouldn't you, like, in short yardage situations, guys, y'all give me mad. Like, I'm thinking about it like
toss crack. Now, like, toss crack. They want to run toss crack.
Hey, listen, in his wide mirror.
The defense is strong.
Toss crack. No,
but with your 40-year-old tackle, but don't worry about all that.
Right.
In the wide mirror, Lawrence. Every time Nagy looks at it, comes out Rhino Wright 24 lead.
God, I hope that was what he called.
Let's hope it comes out the mirror like Candyman this week. Sheesh. Trying to tell you, man. So tired of talking, man. It's unbelievable. I'm almost embarrassed to wear my bear stuff around town now, man.
Not me, man. Not me. That's why I got a big house.
Nah, I came out of the house on Monday. And my neighbor's looking at me with like an attitude, like it's my fault. I'm like, man.
Oh, they're mad at you.
They're mad at me. I'm like, I was eating wings watching the game like you were, man. I'm mad too. They're mad at me. Like, what are you mad at me for?
Well, look, I've been advocating this on the radio show. And I don't say this just because I'm on you guys' podcast. But having been in that room with O and Lance and Alex and Matt, I feel like they're all an untapped resource for this franchise. Like, I don't understand it. It makes too much sense. And maybe I'm an idiot, and maybe because, you know, I'm learning so much football. You talk about going to a master's class. Like,
yeah.
Sitting in that room and hearing those guys talk about the game, them seeing stuff before it happened, was better than going to grad school for me. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Ted or George or Virginia, I'm talking to these guys. Like I'm talking to these guys and saying, what do you guys see? Now, that doesn't mean necessarily like because Olin said fire somebody, fire them, but mm-hmm. take the input. Like take the input from people who know. Why would you not, if you have a resource like that? And these guys, and I don't mean to speak for you, but these guys are willing to if they're giving it on the air in a private moment, they clearly give it to Bears ownership. Every ex-Bear that I talk to, every single one of them that I've ever had on the show or I've worked with, all have a vested interest in the Bears doing well. I don't know what it's like for other teams in other cities, but people who play for this franchise still care about it, even though there have been times when you haven't been treated well by the franchise. And yet and still, you want the franchise to win. So if I have that at my disposal, why wouldn't I take advantage of it? It perplexes me. It really, really does.
That's the pride factor. That's the pride factor. I mean, it's hard for, you know, as men who it's hard to swallow your pride. You got to swallow pride and ask for help and find a solution to the problem. If not, you're digging yourself a deeper hole. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's what we've seen here in Chicago. You know, you get Justin Fields, there's so much promise. And in his debut, you have 9 sacks. He throws for, I don't know how many yards he had, 68 yards. I mean, it's a disaster. Mm-hmm. It's a disaster. That's what we've been waiting for all offseason, to see something like that. It's a shame for the Bears fans, and it's definitely embarrassing. My last question for you, Lawrence, before we let you go, and once again, we thank you for your time. Is this a must win for Matt Nagy? You got an 0-3 Detroit team coming into town, a defense that's last in the league, giving up 31 points per game. Is this a must win? Is this an opportunity for him to show that he can? You got to get the offense on track against this Bear, against this Lions defense. But is this a must win for Matt Nagy?
Well, the thing about Detroit that I find so interesting is that they're playing hard. Like they're, mm-hmm. if you look at the game against Lamar Jackson last week, they play hard. Now I think that they're getting close to the end of our coach might be a crazy person, so we have to play hard. Like I think that if they don't see some success, then that'll probably go away. I'm sure the Bears are looking at the Lions like this is a win, but I think the Lions are probably looking at the Bears the same way, and they're going, here's an opportunity. With their quarterback situation being in flux, we have a chance to get a win. If I were Dan Campbell and the Lions, I wouldn't be afraid of the Bears offense. Now, the Bears defense, if they even come close to the way they played last week, that could be problematic for everyone. I'm not a believer in Jared Goff at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's a must win, but I'll tell you this. It's weird for me as a local artist, like as a local talk show host, to see the amount of anger nationally Matt Nagy is getting, because it's something that you don't ordinarily see. Like the way that people are reacting to this nationally, it's like the score. Like it's legit like how hosts at the score are reacting to it. If he doesn't win this game, if Dalton's the quarterback, I think he gives himself a little bit of cushion if it still feels, because you could still say, well, this is all of the learning process. If you make some actual changes and allow for it to be better, if he puts Dalton out there and they look bad and they lose to the 0-3 Lions, those calls for his firing are going to get louder and louder. And I can't imagine that the people at 1920, you know, Football Drive aren't hearing that. From not just, if you guys are hearing it from your neighbors, you know, imagine what's happening when George is out there going for his daily run out in the Western burbs, like what people are saying to him. And you can only do the bang flash thing of look over here with the, hey, we're moving to Arlington Heights. You can only do that so much before people are like, hey man, what's really going on with this football team? So it would behoove, I'm not going to say it's must win because it's week 4. But it would behoove them to look good and win this game against Detroit.
Lawrence, man, we can't thank you enough. Again, listen to, obviously, Lawrence on the Lawrence Holmes Show at 670 Score, noon to 2. Check out his podcast, House of L, and he's on Twitter, at Lawrence Holmes. Lawrence, thank you, man.
Guys, you guys are the best. I can't believe you brought up my baseball career. That
is hilarious. Hey, I'm glad you went over the ankle, too, because I was interested in that.
Hey, man, I got some x-rays. It's disgusting. Mm. But, you know, hey, when it rains, I feel it. There's no doubt about that.
Thanks again, Thank you, Lawrence.
All right, guys, anytime.
Hey guys, it's Olin Krutz, and I want to tell you about Tequila Embajador, the official tequila of the No Name Podcast. Whether it's celebrating a big win or just kicking back after work, adding Tequila Embajador takes every gathering to the next level. The care, quality, and patience put into each and every bottle of Tequila Embajador can be tasted from the first sip to the last, and it's why we're honored to call them our teammates. Go to their website, embajadortequila.com, and use the code KICKOFF10 and receive your discount on your next purchase of Tequila Embajador, the official tequila of the No Name Podcast.
Well, that does it for our show today on the No Name Football Podcast. We thank all of our listeners for listening and supporting us on all the social media platforms. Make sure you download our podcast. We're on all the platforms, Spotify, iTunes, whatever your choice is. Make sure you download it. Make sure you tell your friends and family. Give us a rating if you like. Hopefully it's a 5-star rating, but if not, give us a rating anyway. We like your feedback and criticism, that things we can improve on upon our show. But before we go, as usual... Man, I want to suit up right now. In the words of the great Mike Brown, you guys keep making plays in life, and we'll keep making these great podcasts for you. We're out, and we'll see you next time, Chicago. Take care. God bless.
Mahalo.